number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. We tweeted at him. A lot of people are liking the tweet to Jarvis Brownlee, but he hasn't replied yet. So maybe I need to follow him. Maybe that'll help. Oh, he deleted it. He deleted the post.
Did he?
Yep. Sure did.
I wonder why.
Sure did.
Because we're team no delete over here. I'm not deleting anything.
You think the Jets told him to?
I don't know. Maybe somebody made a Z threatened him. He said, I'll take it down.
Well, you know these. Never mind. I'm just going to let it go. I was like, did he block me? No, he didn't block me. His DMs are open. I could DM him.
Do it.
That could be. That
How
could
do
be
I have some. More followers than him? He's a damn NFL player. Let me see if he's blocked. No, there he is.
Well, because you're Nashville's media darling.
Damn right I am. I don't get traded anywhere.
You have more followers. You have more subscribers. Like, you are.
Well, there's a certain number. That's important. There's a certain number I'm looking at right now to see what's going on.
You have a radio station, too. That's
I do.
At your
Big
disposal.
Time. Yep. Yeah. So you're lucky to be in here with me. Just know that.
I know. No, trust me.
Yeah,
I know.
Right. it's gone.
I am aware.
Joe, when you look in the mirror in the morning, who do you see? Like, I'm just curious. You're Joe Dubin.
Magnum P.I. Tom Selleck in 1981.
Bum, 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 bum.
Not a better looking man on TV ever than Tom Selleck in 1981. And if you pair Tom Selleck with Donna Mills from Knott's Landing, 1982-ish, the perfect kid they would have. So I see myself as Tom Selleck. Don't ruin it for me by telling me that I'm bald and overweight. Just don't. I'm like what's the movie, Shallow Hal, you know, and I'm that. I see myself as just perfection. But if I really looked at the real mirror, I would see, like, good Lord, what's going on there? So, yeah, you never know. It's just like the drama from 12 to 3. We love it, man. That's what happens when you have a bad football team. There's so many different tentacles that reach out and do things. Like, what in the world's going on? You know, what's it like right now, say, in Philadelphia? Or other teams are Buffalo 3-0. What's that like? Pleasant? Nice? We talking about, you know, hey, how you doing today? Different attitude. Here we are. We're stuck with a 21% winning percentage football team in the last 3.5 seasons.
Yeah.
Brutal. Brutal.
But you know who has a great winning percentage right now? The Vanderbilt Commodores.
Yes, they do.
And that has been – I don't think – this is what also just drives me crazy. The Titans are so bad that that's taken everybody's attention that – a team like Vandy, the 18th ranked team in the country, is not getting the flowers they deserve. Now, look, they go beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa. I think that changes. You know, their biggest win to this point is South Carolina. Fair?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It may not look as great as it did at the time, but they were the 11th ranked team in the country, so they went there and they beat them. You go down to Alabama and beat them at Tuscaloosa, then you're going to get people talking. Because then you're turning around and you're probably 6-0 at that point playing LSU the next week. My guess is game day is coming to Nashville. And then that's going to change the narrative a little bit.
Even better. You get a week off after Alabama.
Yeah. Yep. 100%.
You get a week off after Alabama and then LSU rolls in on the 18th. That could be your – I know you want game day. You want game day to show up. That's your game day. You keep winning. Beat Alabama. You got to beat Utah State first. Then you beat Alabama. LSU keeps winning. That's your game day come to town. And then you look at that. That'll be a massive game. You got LSU, Missouri, and Texas. They run through. You still got to finish the season at Tennessee. So the schedule's daunting. But, I'm telling you, you beat Alabama. You beat Alabama. Your number one Heisman candidate. Is Diego Pavia.
Oh, 100%.
Then you got Nussmeier coming here, and you got the battle of the two guys at the top. See what happens. But I'm so glad we're not talking about Arch Manning anymore. And I had the problem with Arch Manning standing over the Sam Houston player on Saturday, taunting him in a nonverbal way. I'm like, man, shut up. Get out of here. You're taunting a Sam Houston player. Just dumb. And so, anyway. Hope they beat Texas too. Hope they win all their games. Go 12-0.
If Vandy goes undefeated and goes to the playoff, like, you will see the happiest Chase McCabe you have ever seen. That is a childhood dream.
I want you to shave your head.
I'm not going to do that.
Would you shave your beard?
I'll shave the beard.
Come on, man. That's sissy talk.
I'm not shaving my head. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Would you?
Because I'm afraid it wouldn't grow back.
Would you shave your chest hair into a V formation?
Yes. But nobody wants to see that.
I'm not seeing that. I don't want to watch that.
Well, I mean, talking about shaving. I mean, just.
If they go to the playoff, will you? What's the thing Chase has
to
do?
How about this? We'll get Clark Lee on, and Clark can decide what I need to do. Okay. Unless to shave my head.
What if he gets on there and says for you to shut your mouth?
Yes, coach.
Shut up.
Yes, coach.
What if he says he wants you to go egg James Franklin's house? Hey, I'd go with you on that. That's a pretty damn good idea. I'd love to go with you on that. Would drive after the show straight up to State College, egg his house, drive straight back. I'd love to do that. That'd be fantastic. I mean, I'm telling you, the Franklin thing, look, he was great when he was here. But the ultimate screw job of James Franklin was when he got the Penn State moving van to drive through the middle of campus to his house and drive back through up to Pennsylvania is an amazing thing.
The other thing too, I don't think at the time, because I was still new here and all that stuff, but it bugged me the timing, and you know what I'm talking about. Of when he left, because some stuff went down, and then all of a sudden he's like, "Up, see ya."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did he? Well, I think we talked about this. He quit the same day Munchak got fired.
Because
wasn't Van about the Birmingham Bowl, and word got out that Munchak was gone.
Because Munchak had interviewed for Penn State too.
That's right. And all like came crashing down at one time.
It was a Saturday. Because I was working and no one was here, and the news came out that Franklin was taking the Penn State job, and I went on the air and announced that he was taking the Penn State job, and then I think it was the next day that Munch got
anyway.
Fired.
It was around the same time, short time period that it all happened, and then he was gone. But look at what he's doing now. I mean, he's got that big game versus Oregon.
When they fire Brian Callahan and Bill Callahan, can they hire Mike Munchak to coach the O-line?
Maybe, yeah. Wait, no, I thought they had the greatest coach ever and Daddy Callahan.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's going to get fired too, so or leave. All right, so Munch was fired January 4th, 2014.
And the bowl game was the third? I think it was in January, the Birmingham Bowl. Did they play Houston?
Franklin was hired January 11th.
But when was the Birmingham Bowl? Because word got out right around that time what was going on. Because we had heard the rumors and everything that was going on.
January 4th.
The Birmingham Bowl was?
Yeah.
Ah, okay, yeah. All that like, one day, yeah. Because that was the big rumors. Like, he's taking the Penn State job, and then Munchak got fired. He interviewed for it. All that went on at the same time. And then, remember, there were some, like, there was some of you in this town said James Franklin should be the head coach of the Titans.
Yes.
I'll never forget that.
Yep.
Because there was an opening, and then boom. And that all went down that weekend, and then he went on, and then they went out and hired Ken Wisenhunt.
Now I'm trying to think of who all were the candidates for the Titans job. Wisenhunt was. There was somebody else, though.
Yeah, who was that?
There was a defensive guy that I think was.
Was it a Todd Bowles?
Maybe.
Or one of the.
Because that's probably around the time he got
coordinator?
That's probably around the time he got the Jets job.
Who was it? There was a name that was out there. And then out of the blue.
Tommy Smith shows up and says, Rustin, get on the plane. Come down to Houston. You're going to meet your coach.
Going to meet your coach.
Yep. Which at the time, okay, you were, I don't remember because you were actually still in the, at the time, wasn't everybody kind of like, okay, that's not a bad hire.
Wasn't bad. He had a Vanderbilt tie-in, and then
he had taken a team to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
He was really good with the Steelers.
1 year with the Chargers as a coordinator, Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers raved about him. They needed
Hasselbeck raved about him because Hasselbeck was with him in Arizona.
That's right.
Yeah,
Tim's allowed one mistake. That's Tim's one mistake that he gets on the show.
You know,
and then he comes in, and then Wisenhunt was just awful. Was just not only was it awful. You could be awful to the media. I don't care. I really don't care. But nobody liked him. And I remember talking to a certain Titans PR person when they fired him. When word got out, everybody was like, "Thank God!" Like a collective, thank the Lord he's gone. And fired on a Monday, or word got out on a Tuesday, and so whatever that was, then he was gone. And then they win the next game. They win the next game with that tight end throwback to who caught the ball. Remember?
Tight end throwback.
So
it was Delaney.
Nope. Mariota too. Former.
Oh.
Might have been a Cowboy. He was a Dolphin.
Oh,
come on.
Fasano?
Attaboy! Yeah. Anthony Fasano.
Yeah, I think he was both.
Yep. Scored a touchdown, and then they won the game.
He's coaching now, I
think. The Saints weren't half – is he here? I'll stick around here.
No.
And the Saints weren't half bad at that moment, but you saw the energy it gave the team and a different perspective, and they went out and won the game. That's what happened. That was November of 2015.
No, he wasn't a Cowboy. He played with the Chiefs, the Dolphins, Chiefs, here, back to the Dolphins.
Okay.
No, he was with the Cowboys. You're right.
Hey, Anthony Fasano!
My bad. Yeah, he was with the Cowboys before.
Right,
the-
Nick?
He's a Paisano.
He's a Paisano.
Fasano the Paisano.
Yeah, man. That was some times back. I mean, it's just all we got now is like heartbreak. The AFC Championship game, the loss to the Bengals, the trade of AJ, and the team went straight to you know what after that, and everything else.
That was just so bad.
I mean, it's just a comical, it's a error after error, a comical comedic error after all the time that's happening here, and now we've kind of accepted it, which is sad.
Hang it down.
What was that? What was that?
That's Lil Mo, baby.
Oh,
Lil Mo.
Man.
Hang it down.
And now we got drama with ex-players and media members, and you got a coach doesn't know what he's doing. Now he's sitting in the defensive room meetings for games. They're probably like, what the hell are you doing in here? We don't want you in here. And on and on and on.
Hey, guys, we're going to do our defensive meeting at the Starbucks down the street. Don't tell Callie, okay?
Callie walks in like Lundberg from Office Space.
Hey,
What's
guys!
What's happening?
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com here on Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game on this Wednesday. I know Cam Ward is speaking right now. Let's check in and see what all he's saying.
What do you mean by that? Are there times where the play pans out, you read one, and there's no time to get to 2 and 3, you got to go to the check?
Yeah, it also depends on the rush. I would say if I feel pressure, I'll try to get my check down as fast as I can. If not, I got to take the first read.
I guess from a player standpoint, a quarterback standpoint, how much has play calling been an issue, and how much does execution maybe need to improve as well?
I don't think it's been an issue. I think the biggest thing is that coach just has so much to deal with, and it's probably hard for him to, you know, give a play call. He's one of the best play callers out there. But he has a lot of important decisions to make for, you know, us to win games. And I just think him giving that up to Bo right now, he thinks it's best for us. I think it's best for us as well. So whatever coach agrees with, I'm going to go with.
With the Jarvis trade as well as this move with Bo, what's your level of confidence in the way the franchise is moving with those things?
My confidence is high, especially in the GM, Mr. Mike. I think that's one of the best ones, you know, out there. You see what he had when he had his input in with the Chiefs and what that program has done. And so it's really all about us sticking to the process, staying patient. We just try to do our job and go win games.
Cam, what do you feel like the mood of the team is after a few rough weeks? And as a rookie, do you feel confident? as confident taking a leadership role as you thought you would, you know, to try to keep everyone's spirits up?
Yep. Vibes are high in the locker room. We in there saying some crazy stuff, being good teammates. So, I mean, the only way for us right now is up. We 0-3. We got to get ourselves – we put ourselves in the hole, but we didn't dig it, you know, two down. So, you know, we just trying to get up, win games, but we got to win one, try to win one this week and try to repeat the next week.
Have they emphasized the importance of the Texans-Titans rivalry to you this
week? Have they emphasized it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something they're going to emphasize, you know, the whole week. But we're not really too focused on rivalry. We focus on winning a game.
Any special significance for you personally playing so close to home in this one?
That's going to be the game.
Is it significant to you? How many people, all that stuff?
It's not really that significant to me. I would say I'm just playing football. Hopefully, you know, I know I have a couple family members down there, probably a lot of family members down there, especially with Quandre's side. But, I mean, I'm locked in. I'm playing football. I'm going to do my job.
Did you go to Texas games?
Growing up?
Yeah.
I went to one game. It's when Quandre, when he played the Texans. That was the only time I went to Texan game.
I know Brian's talking about playing with a desperate mindset, maybe approaching the week with a desperate mindset. What's that mean to you and the guys?
That, you know, we got to throw everything out there to win the football game. We got to put ourselves back on the right track to, you know, try to win our division. That's going to be a week-to-week process, but we got to stick to it.
There's no laughing matter. You want to score touchdowns, but you give Chim a hard time about the bad luck he's had. He's had two touchdowns called back already. You same thing to him. Hey, your time is coming too.
Every time's a charm, man. Yeah. You better stick the ball across the goal line. I hope it's worn down.
The wristband. Is that something, are you a big proponent of wearing the wristband and being able to refer to that on the play calls, or do you think that's something that's not necessary?
It is necessary, but it isn't necessary in the – it just depends on what down it is, I would say, the biggest thing, because I've used it in college, not as much as here, but it's just we have so much information on one play. If you don't get the first time, you might be a delay of game. So the wristband just – not only simplifies it for everybody, but we get to play in faster. We can move it up at a faster rate.
Last one from there. Good.
There you go. That's Cam Ward talking with the media this afternoon, as he does every Wednesday. So, you know.
He got to be thinking, like, what the hell have I been drafted into? what is going on up here with all this? And, look, he's got a good attitude, keep his head up. And I think he's an amazing talent. There's going to be a lot more bumps in the road. He's a rookie quarterback. They all go mm-hmm. through all that. And this is something else. But, my goodness, I mean, it's just you're three games in, and now you got a new play caller there, which I think we've talked about this before. Even Tim Hasselbeck said it as well. I mean, the quarterback coach is the closest ear to you, and now he's calling plays, which I think could be a good thing for Cam going forward. And Callahan's out of that because he's shown he cannot call plays with any sense of urgency or any kind of sense of knowing what he's doing. So I think this is a good move for the team, and we'll see how it plays out on Sunday as they take on the Houston Texans.
I will say this. Every time I hear him speak, though, I like him more and more. Because, like, he does his job. He's up there answering the questions. But you can tell that all that guy thinks about is football.
Yeah, and winning.
And winning.
And winning. Yeah, that's a big deal.
And that – if they can just build the right team around him, I think he can be the guy.
That's a loaded question. Can they build the right team around him?
Right now, there are two people in that building that I trust. Cam Ward and Mike Borgonzi. That's it.
Okay.
I mean, there's probably some other players.
I get what you mean.
There's some other players.
I get what you're talking
about. But like, I mean, just think about that. Don't trust the owner. Don't trust the whatever his title is, Brinker. Don't trust the head coach. Maybe Bo Hardigree can earn my trust. We'll see. But it's just like there's just not a lot to trust over there.
Is the owner, and I know the answer to this, is she so insulated that she hears none of the bad? She gets delivered none of the bad?
That's a really good question.
That she gets what she needs to hear.
I think she's like an ostrich and just buries her head in the sand.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, there's no way standing out there on Sunday she didn't hear people booing.
And so empty seats.
Yeah. And so do you think they walk back in the tunnel and she goes, Burke, why were they booing? I just think she's a lot smarter than that. I think she's actually pretty intelligent. Like, from people that have worked with her, like, she's pretty in tune with stuff. I think now she's just like, you know what? I hope this is what happened. I hope she realized she was meddling too much and said, you know what? I'm going to let you guys handle it.
I don't think she knows that. I don't think you can run a business like you run an NFL team. I don't think
you
can.
I agree.
The example was the 21% winning percentage since John Robinson was fired. You just can't do that. But I think feeling why she's so insulated that if she's in Houston or here or wherever, it's like she doesn't hear any of this stuff. I mean, she probably sees the record and all that, and I'm going to do better. But this is a really bad football team, Amy. And you've made bad decisions and hired some really bad people. There's going to take a lot to get out of this hole. So I'll just be curious about that. Wouldn't it be great if she called in one day?
I would love it.
She would never.
She would never do it. But here's the deal. Like, I can tell you that if she did, she would be treated with nothing but respect.
Of course.
And we'd ask tough questions, but it would be, I think, a great conversation. And it would be one of the smartest things that she's ever done.
Would never happen in a billion years.
Nope. Never will. But it would be, I mean, if one day I get a call from over there and they're like, hey, Amy has agreed she's going to go on every television station and both sports stations, everything's on the table. I'd be like, that's the smartest thing y'all have done in 15 years. But they won't do it.
No, it's great. That's never going to happen at all.
Yep. 615-737-1025. We'll have more coming here on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Okay, what do you feel like the mood of the team is after a few rough weeks? And as a rookie, do you feel confident, as confident taking a leadership role as you thought you would, you know, to try to keep everyone's spirits up?
Yep. Vibes are high in the locker room. We in there saying some crazy stuff, being good teammates. So, I mean, the only way for us right now is up. We 0-3. We got to get ourselves – we put ourselves in the hole, but we didn't dig it, you know, two down. So, you know, we just trying to get up, win games, but we got to win one. Try to win one this week and try to repeat the next week.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. That was Cam Ward. A couple of texts I want to get to on our text line. 1010 says, what has Mike Borgonzi done to make you trust him? I think the draft class, there are some questions. Yes, I question Femi Oladejo right now.
Whew.
But there are some. This draft class, I think, right now is decent. So I trust him there. He didn't go overboard in free agency like his predecessor, which I think was a good thing. So, and he comes from a really good organization that I should probably give a little credence to. So, it's a thin line, but right now,
right,
he's there. Right. Larry from Columbia says, the Titans are bad for now, but they will eventually get better. And when that happens, fans should appreciate and remember how bad it was.
We're tired of remembering that.
So, Larry, I hope you're right. And you what? In the grand scheme of things, one day they probably will be better than they are now again. The problem is, and we kind of pulled up the record earlier, and it's not as bad as,
right,
you know, historically as it, yep, as we might think. So there is some truth to that. But it's just, can they ever get to being the team that we look at going, this team can win the Super Bowl? Can Big Joe ever ask that question on the first day of training camp and get the answer of, hell yeah, we can. We got a long season, but yeah, we got a roster that's capable of doing it. Can we ever sit here and go, all right, can this team compete with the Chiefs? Yes. Can this team compete with the Bills? Yes. Can this team compete with the Ravens? Yes. Can this team compete with the Eagles? Yes. The answer to that right now is no.
It's a hard no.
It's not even a thought. It's not even close.
Right.
As I just spit everywhere.
I mean, it's, look, the changes need to be made, right? And somebody's like, you know, well, you can't just keep firing people and bringing new people. Why can't we?
Well, I mean.
Why can't?
There's some truth to that. Ideally.
Stop hiring the wrong people.
Exactly. Eventually, you'll get to the point where you realize, hey, maybe it's not them. Maybe it's me.
Right.
And maybe I'm hiring the wrong people.
This team has no marketable players. They have no players that scare you. I mean, it's really sad. When you break it down, it's really sad. And there's a lot that Robinson's to blame for, Rand's to blame for. I mean, there's blame to go around.
Sure.
But once you get rid of all these bad players, you hope that Borgonzi can find new players, move on. Teams turn it around all the time.
If 2 years from now that stadium's open and we're in week four of the season and we're sitting here talking about a 3-0 team with an MVP caliber quarterback, they have an offensive line that's going to be all pro, then we're going to look back on now and go, okay, but that's because she trusts the process that Borgonzi sold her, and maybe Brinker too, but they went through this rebuild. They sold off a bunch of what they're probably about to sell off.
Right.
And they drafted right. You can turn it around.
That's a lot to do, man.
But you can't. You've seen it. You can turn it around pretty quickly.
Yeah, you can.
If you do it right.
But can they do it right?
And there's only a handful of teams that have figured out how to do it right.
And this ain't one of them.
And this plus, is right.
Cam alluded to Borgonzi at Kansas City. Yeah, it's great when you got Patrick Mahomes. Things are good when you got Pat Mahomes on that team. You know, what were they like before Mahomes? They're okay. Alex Smith.
They were still a good team. They weren't Super Bowl contenders, but they were a good team.
They were a team that competed well, but you knew they were not going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And, you know, Andy Reid, the 13-14 he was there, wasn't great. It took a while to do it, but he's proven he could do it. I mean, this Callahan was a bad hire. It was a flavor of the month, and it was really, really terrible. And you're seeing it now. And so now you got to go and clean house. Unfortunately, you got to do it again. Bring another staff in there and get it done. This ain't working. And if you think it's going to work, it's not going to work. You know, we all know what's happening. It's not going to work right now. And then so, but now, you know, you got 3 games on the road. That schedule's daunting. You know who awaits when you come back home on October the 19th? You know who's going to be sitting there waiting for you? And then you're on the road to Indianapolis, and the Chargers come here. Then you got a break, and then it's over. I mean, then the bye week, and then you finish the season out. So there's a lot to play for, but, I mean, what's going to happen Sunday? Amy has shown that after you lose to the Texans, things happen. And she going to like that when you're 0-4 and you get blown out on Sunday? No, you're not. So here we are talking again, same thing, trying to figure out what the hell is going on.
So I was trying to look at something, because what Kansas City ended up doing is, remember, they played Alex Smith, started one more year. Mahomes was the backup, and then they traded Alex Smith to the Redskins for – do you remember what was involved in that trade?
I do not. Don't.
It was Kendall Fuller, pretty good player. And a 2018 third-round pick. Here's the best part about this. I don't know which one of these guys it was that they drafted with that third-round pick. Dorian O'Daniel or Armani Watts. Neither are in the league anymore. I'm sorry, Derek Nandi. He's actually pretty good. And then Dorian O'Daniel.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know which one it was.
Hit and miss. Hit and miss. Hit and miss. It goes on. But, I mean, the one thing Titans can take from this, people still like this football team because they're fired up.
Yep.
We get phone calls. All the shows get phone calls. All the shows get text messages. People are still very much caring about this football team. The day we turn this station on and nobody comments about the Titans, that's when you worry. That's when you have absolutely hit rock bottom. They're not there yet because people – and good for you guys – for having the guy that called in earlier says he invested $74,000 in this franchise throughout the years on tickets and everything else. People are still passionate about this team, but at some point, gotta show something. Right now, they're showing nothing.
Not a thing. Not a darn thing. Coming up next, we're going to show you something because it is America's favorite. It is celebrity birthdays. What day is it? And I saw him working feverishly back there on the mashup, the day in review, whatever we're going to call it. We will have that for you coming up next. But you want to give something away? Let's give something away. Let's be giving.
Yeah, Callahan, can we give him away?
Yeah, we're caller number one wins Brian Callahan.
The phones haven't ringed.
First caller, you're going to win a pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Yacht Rock Review at the Ryman Auditorium on Saturday, February 7th. Tickets will go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Caller number one, 615-737-1025, will win a pair of tickets to see Yacht Rock Review at the Ryman Saturday, February 7th. Good luck with that. Chasing Big Joe coming up. More coming up next. 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a lovely day. We've gotten some rain, which we needed. It's been good.
Look at you.
The weatherman.
You just turned 65. Got some rain today. Rain moving in.
Can I tell you, at 38 years old, I realized this last night because I got in the bed early and I was like, I'm going to turn the TV on. Oh, the news is on. I'm going to watch the news. And I'm like, I'm my father. I am officially my father because that was Dad. He'd watch the – now, Dad was a junkie with news. He would watch 5:30, 6, the happiest day was when they created a 4 o'clock. And because he loved watching all the stations.
You know what's funny? Do you know why they created a 4 o'clock newscast?
Oprah left. It was something with Oprah.
Kinda. It was during the 2000 election.
Oh, that's what – okay. That's what it was.
Because they were like, hey, we're going – because they used to be like – when I was at Channel 2, like, hey, we're going at – because I think 4 started at 4, and so we were like at Channel 2. We're going to start at 4:30.
4 had Oprah.
I was like, 4. What?
And then she left, and that was open. But I think at that point, like, 5 had already started, and
– That was the – because
I want to say 5 was the first one to have a 4.
That was the one that started everything, then we all did it. And then we were like, we're going to go 4:30, show you. And then just like – then our deadline became 4. I was like, it's hard making a 5 o'clock deadline, almost impossible making a 4 o'clock deadline.
Yeah. So what was funny is he would watch in the mornings, he would watch Channel 2 because he loved Big Joe on the Go.
I mean, who didn't, right?
Yeah. Right. Well,
didn't your boy look at this fat kid? He should have teamed to this, what this guy's doing here today.
Some of your bosses.
I mean, couldn't stand me. We need a whole show on bosses. That'd be great.
Oh, we could have some fun with that. Yeah. That is for sure. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays. Brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. Jarrett Fire Division covers all of your business's fire safety needs. Go to JarrettFire.com. Above and beyond industry standards.
All right. First on this, we have Festival of the Latest Novelties Day. Ooh. So next
YouTube.
I guess.
Go ahead. Continue.
Okay. I thought Joe had some. Okay. Yeah. Never mind. Gallbladder Good Health Day is today. So check out those gallbladders. KISS Day is today.
KISS Day?
Yep. KISS. Yep. Not the acronym, but, you know, actual.
The band?
No. The actual, you know, thing you do with another person. Never mind. Not going to go any further with that.
What in the world talking about?
I don't know. We're going to continue. Lash Stylist
Day. You tried to
explain
today. Something is the best thing ever.
Yeah, because like I got 6 things in my brain I'm thinking about. Like I have 11 more pounds of flour I have to like figure out when I get home. We're not even going to worry about it. National Bluebird of Happiness Day is today. National Cherries Jubilee Day is today.
Ooh, those are good.
National Punctuation Day. Probably something I should do. National Women's Health and Fitness Day, National Horchata Day.
Who?
Horchata. It's a drink.
Oh, I thought I met somebody you met at Deja Vu.
No,
sorry.
No, I don't go there. But
I hope not.
I hear that's something. Yep. All right.
Who do you hear that from?
Pac-Man Jones.
Oh.
They say they have the best steaks, apparently. Let's see. Schwenkenfelder Thanksgiving. So I'm not sure what that is. Hey, you might see this at Deja Vu. See you at the poll day is today. So today, see you at the poll day. And to wrap it up, World Dense Breast Day. So women,
holy
get them checked.
Cow!
So yeah.
Family show, man.
I mean, you have to be aware.
All right. Here we go. Time for celebrity birthdays. Got to get these within 2 years. Our first birthday, Kevin Sorbo, Hercules. How old is Hercules today?
74.
70.
67. Dr. Crane, you're up now. She was in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Actress Nia Vardalos.
She is 63.
64.
63, exactly. Up 2-0. All right, Chase, you're up now. Next birthday is, oh, TV personality Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, okay.
This is good.
Soon to be WWE Hall of Famer Stephanie McMahon. She is 51.
48.
49. Dr. Crane gets it close. He's up 3-0. All right, Dr. Crane, you're up first again. How old is the esteemed actress Harriet Walter? She was in The Crown.
Harriet is 57.
60.
75. Chase her up. The drummer, Sean Crahan of Slipknot.
46.
48.
56. That's all for those. All right, time for sports birthdays. Dr. Crane, you're up. Mean Joe Green. Do you know who Mean Joe Green is?
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go 73.
Actually, 66.
79.
Oh, wow.
Chase, you're up.
Wow.
Former New York Mets third baseman Hubie Brooks.
73.
80.
69.
Nice.
You're up now, Dr. Crane. Alan Bestwick, the announcer, who has one of the funniest moments ever on this station.
78.
60.
64. Chase, Rafael Palmeiro.
57.
62.
61. 4-0, Dr. Crane. Dr. Crane, Ryan Briscoe.
43?
Ryan, the race car driver?
Yes, sir.
Nicole Briscoe's husband? He is 47.
44. Dr. Crane's up 5-0. We're down to our last two. Chase, Mario Cristobal, head coach at Miami.
44.
42.
55. Our last birthday, terrible. Dr. Crane, you go first. Eddie George. The great Eddie George.
Eddie is 54.
That's a good guess. 55.
52. For the first time in, I think, ever, Chase was shut out.
Yep.
6-0, Dr. Crane.
Congrats, Dr. Crane.
Thank you very much.
Congrats, Dr. Crane. With that, let's get to the mashup. Chasing Big Joe on this Wednesday. Michael.
All right.
Michael and Madison. Our quarterback kneeled down just to get the game over with.
A Titanic disaster.
Byron says, tush push. From our own tent.
Every play is a tush push. Every single play. Oh, God, the V formation. Oh, man. Do it.
Do you think I would survive being a girl dad?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, like, all the things. Like, I would probably, like, it would drive, like.
You need to tell us something?
No, there's nothing.
We got not, please. I mean, I don't mind.
No.
Collins, you are not.
That's what happens.
Just like the whole thing last segment you were telling me about?
The EPT?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with your weight. I don't know where you get that from.
I don't know. You just...
It's the nightmare of every parent who has a teenage kid of like, all right, you find an EPT, it's like, oh, Lord, of what goes on.
Okay, yeah, well...
That's it.
Negative.
I mean, you're going to go over there and take the wheelbarrow around.
Can you mow the grass?
I mean, I would. That's a great... we laugh about that, but that would be something else.
Hello, Peter. What's happening? I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Is that Gary Cole?
Yes.
That was great.
Well done, buddy. Well done, Dr. Crane.
So, you know, Gary Cole's on NCIS now. He's like the main guy. And one of his first episodes he was on, because he's the team leader, he goes, "Hey, McGee, do you have those TPS reports done yet?"
No.
And McGee's like, "You mean DPS reports?" And he looks right at the camera and goes, "Old habits."
Oh, he broke the third wall.
Yeah, it was awesome. That is going to do it for us today.
Hey, as we leave our show every time, to our guys out there, we tell you all the time how much we love you and our world's a better place because you are here. If you're struggling on your cell phone and you need to talk to somebody, please reach out to us. We're always here for you. We are so grateful to the men who've reached out these last 2 years to talk to us. We're all going the same direction. I need to celebrate your success. We always talk about what's good in your life. Find the good, find the gratitude, and you'll be here. Ask God for opportunities every day. Know that we love you. And we're serious about that. And more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll, DVD. Coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.